Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo at Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at www.hbcaz.org. So get ready, find your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord. Father, it is our desire to behold your Son. Lord Jesus, it is our desire, Lord, to worship and praise you, to see you more clearly, to invite you into our hearts, to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. I have a couple of announcements for you. First of all, VBS, that's what all the decorations are for. Obviously, you can tell it's a sports theme. Pretty excited about it. You have the card here, June 14th through the 18th. And we're going to have prayer every day this week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, for VBS, that God would move mightily. So if you want to join us in praying from 5:30 to 6:30, every night this week, except Wednesday, because, of course, we have church service. It's going to be awesome. And by the way, just invite all the kids you can. Give these out. We have close to 3,000 of these, so there's plenty. Give them out. Invite the kids in your neighborhood. All are welcome. And if you have kids or grandkids, you can sign them up today in the fellowship hall. So we need to know, because there's also T-shirts and a bunch of stuff going on. It's going to be awesome. And super excited about that. Also, we started the one-step program. It's for addictions, whether it be maybe you're addicted to Seinfeld and you need to stop watching the show. You can go to One Step. You have a drug addiction, alcohol, porn, unforgiveness, whatever. It covers all those things. They had their first meeting on Thursday, and it's going to go on every Thursday at 6 o'clock over in the prayer room. And I guess they had a pretty good turnout for the first day. So keep that in mind. Also, listen, God's house is beautiful. I love our, you know, we're not the only church, but we are a church. And it takes a lot of hands to keep the church looking this good. We have opportunities in the cleaning ministry. If you love to clean and if you love God's house, we have an opportunity for you to get involved and help keep God's house looking great. So if you're interested, take some time. Fill out one of those connection cards. Maybe you don't want to fill out the connection. Fill out one of the visitor's cards. You can complain about me. You can do all that stuff. It's just awesome. Of course, I won't read them. No, I'm just teasing. Please, I really do appreciate constructive criticism, encouragements. I'll take it all. But take your time. You know, fill those out. Not right now. We're going to go to the Word of God. But afterwards, take your time to fill out a connection card or if you have prayer needs. All right, if you would please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 16. I've entitled our message Super Bowls. And we're going to look at the first bowl, second bowl, third bowl, fourth bowl, fifth bowl, sixth bowl, seventh bowl, and you can figure it out. I've never had that many points in any of my messages. And as I was studying, I realized that we may not make it through all the bowls, which is unfortunate, but we're going to do our best to get through as many as we can. Well, maybe we'll make it through all of them. I don't know. We'll see. Let me pray one more time. Father God, anoint this time in your word, give us all ears to hear, and may we be hypersensitive to what you want to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The word great appears in this chapter 10 times. In fact, some people would call this the great chapter, except it's not great. It's actually great in devastation, not in celebration. In fact, way back in chapter 11 of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 14, it said this: the second woe has passed. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Now, from chapter 11 to now, we've been in a pause. We've kind of taken a flashback. We've looked around at some characters. We looked around at some other things that have transpired. But here we are at the third woe. So we've been the rest of chapter 11, chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and then now we have come to the third woe. Now, if you're visiting, or perhaps you're someone and you invited someone today, you must understand, I don't skip any parts of the Bible. We go verse by verse. Your friend, if you brought a friend, they may leave here today going, I thought you said it was a happy house. Because this is not one of those feel-good messages of the year. This is one of those in your face. This is what's going down. There's a reason why the angel said this is the third woe. That this is a heavy duty time. And you're going to see as we go through this, it's pretty devastating, and prayerfully I can bring it out as best I can. But the Lord Jesus even spoke about this third woe. In Luke chapter 21, verse 26, he said this: men's hearts will fail them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven the power of the heavens will be shaken. So what's going to happen in this chapter is horrific. And you'll see. I'm just going to give it to you as it comes. We're going to take it slowly, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It didn't have to come to this. It didn't have to come to this. See, men will be grasping for their chest when they should have been giving their heart. Men, it didn't have to come to this. Men could have easily turned to God. Instead, they turned to shake their fist at him, as you're going to see. It's not good. God has over and over again given them opportunities to go, hey, you know what? I need to snap out of this. I need to not have this sin in my life. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I need to be right. Now, side note, there are commentators that say the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls all happen at the same time. I'm here to tell you that's an impossibility. Now, I shared with you some of that information when we were in the trumpets. I said, look, here's why the seals and the trumpets can't happen at the same time. And I'm going to share with you some more of that here. So hang that thought on your belt. But the first thing I need to tell you, and I shared this with you in the trumpets, is it says, you know, when they got to the seventh seal, inside the seventh seal were the seven trumpets. Now, we went through the sixth trumpet, and inside the seventh trumpet are these bowls. So right now, what we're going to hear, what we're going to see, are the seven bowls that are inside the trumpet. Now, if the seals are in succession, you know, one, two, three, four, they couldn't possibly be at the same time, because you don't get to the trumpets until the seventh seal, and you don't get to the bowls until the seventh trumpet. But there's more reasons why they cannot be simultaneous, and I'll show you as we move through here. So let's look at the first bowl, verse 1 and 2. Then a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Now, remember in the last chapter, chapter 15, verse 8, it said that the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were complete. So here's the thing. Since no one can enter the temple because God is there, and this voice comes from the temple, logic would tell us this voice is none other than God himself giving instructions to these angels to go ahead and do, bring the judgment, pour out the judgment. Wait till you see what the judgment is. But remember what I said last week. When God closes off the temple, it's almost as if he's upset. And why wouldn't he be? God doesn't want to see anybody go through turmoil and torture and his wrath. How do I know that? Because he sent his son to take our wrath. He sent his son to deal with that. And so it's almost as if God is brooding because he doesn't want to do it. He desires that none should perish, that all come to repentance. And listen, if you're here today and you haven't surrendered your heart, I want you to know that God deeply loves you and wants you to come to repentance. So important. However, this judgment is way different than the judgments we've seen in the past. The seals and the trumpets. And now the bowls. Why? Because now the temple is closed. What does that mean? It means no one else is coming in. They're not coming in to repentance. They're not coming in. Repentance isn't being extended. The doors are closed. No one can enter the temple. Now listen, God has been long-suffering. God has been patient. God has been faithful. Even today. Listen, we've gone through a lot, and we are going through a lot here in America, here in the world, around the world. And God is saying, warning, warning, it's coming, time is coming, it's getting close. And yet so many will not turn to him. And then you come into the tribulation, and you have all this crazy stuff going on, and still you're going to see people will not turn to him. God doesn't want to judge. God wants to forgive. That is why he sent his son. That is so important. Listen, the temple is closed. The temple is the very heart, the hub of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Listen, God told Moses, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build a tabernacle in the wilderness, and this is where men can come and they can give forgiveness and we can kind of be, you know, have some fellowship. But then when he sent Jesus, it's so that you and I can become the tabernacle and we can have some intimate fellowship with God. See, from the same seat that grace and mercy and forgiveness is to come from is the same seat that right now wrath and righteous indignation is coming from. But understand, this wrath and indignation is purely by the choice of the people, purely by choice. But understand this too, folks, you got to hear me. There comes a time when God will shut the door and say, you don't want me? You don't want me? You don't want me? Fine. I'll give you what you want. I'll leave you alone. God will shut the door. And so that's what he's done. And then he says this, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Now, watch this. Does that sound familiar? Bowls? Do you remember hearing about bowls earlier? How about in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8? Way early. Now, verse 8, 5:8. Now, when we had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now you're saying, well, Pastor Randy, are you saying these are the same bowls? No, I'm not saying that. But I am going to give a thought. What's that thought? It wouldn't surprise me if some of these bowls are the bowls. Why? Well, remember the bowls contain the prayers of the saints. Prayers of all those over the thousands of years who have been mistreated, those who have been suffered injustice for the name of Jesus, those who have been brutalized and cried out to God. Also, by the way, those who offered forgiveness and yet it wasn't accepted. You'll see what I mean by that. Listen, our court system, it works sometimes. It's also very flawed many times. There's often times when innocent families have suffered some atrocity and they sit there and they hear this judgment and they sit there and go, God, when is justice going to be given for our loved one who was brutalized? The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 15, Deuteronomy 32, 35, Romans 12:19, it says this. It says, the battle belongs to the Lord, And it says, God says, vengeance is mine. In other words, the fight is mine, and I will avenge those who have been mistreated and been unjustly brutalized. Even those times when you've offered forgiveness. Have you ever done that? Someone has hurt you and you offer forgiveness and they slap your hand. I don't want your forgiveness. You think God doesn't look, that he goes, oh, it's all right, just let it go. He wants you to let it go, but he doesn't let it go. Why? Because he loves you. He does. I think about Jesus who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Some of those may have repented. Others probably went to their grave hating Jesus all the more. Stephen said the same thing. How about many other martyrs? Perhaps even some during the tribulation who are martyred, who said, forgive them. They know not what they do. I like Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Don't put poison in it. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, I don't have time to develop it all, but it doesn't quite mean that you're going to heap coals of fire. But it could mean that if they don't ever change, perhaps what we're going to see here, these bowls are actually bowls of fire being heaped on those who just refuse to repent. Hard to say. Hard to say. Now, please, don't leave here going, Pastor Randy says the Revelation bowls are the same, five. And no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's possibility. Why? God promised to bring vengeance. This is his judgment on who? On those people who refuse God's forgiveness. Maybe even refuse your forgiveness. Now, these are super bowls, but ain't no one winning a ring off of this. Now let's see the effect of the first bowl. Verse 2. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Sad. Let me address this real quick. It's sad because there are some who try to connect this loathsome sore with the microchip that is going around. You're like, sores? No. See, the microchip, here's what I actually have read and seen where pastors say this. See, the microchip that you can have implanted has a lithium battery in it. And if that lithium battery were to spill out, lithium batteries cause, if you get that juice, lithium battery juice on you, it causes horrible sores, painful. Come on, stop it. That's silly. Why is it that theologians, Christian theologians, always have to have some kind of explanation for the miraculous things God does? It's so silly. Oh, the Red Sea, they parted in a shallow part and the wind came. It's always windy there and it opened up. Come on, how about God did it? Right? But this, they have these foul. It says foul and loathsome. The word for foul in the Greek is kakos, which almost sounds like caca. It's like, that's pretty foul. And loathsome is Panaros, which means oozing. Kakos means painful. Panaros means oozing. Now, this is interesting. Those same two words can be translated evil and more evil. So it has a double meaning. It could be painfully, you know, and oozing. Ugh. Or it can mean evil and more evil. Listen, it sounds evil. It sounds evil. It sounds horrible. Remember, I told you, Luke 21:26, it says, men's hearts will fail from the fear and expectation of those things coming on the earth. The power of heaven will be shaken. Listen, now they have sores on their body. Horrible sores. Notice it doesn't tell us where. I have a feeling it's all over, period. You run with that where you want. These are the same people. Notice, I love how the Holy Spirit does this. Look what it says. It says, loathsome sores came upon the men and women who had the mark of the beast. The ones who had the mark of the beast. As if to say, you want a mark? You like marks? You like evil and more evil marks? How about this? You'll have marks all over your body. Loathsome, painful, and oozing marks to go with your little mark of the beast. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it started there where they had the mark, that it started to rot in that area, and then it spread to the rest of their body. Wow. Why? God always gives you what you want. You turn away from God, there's some sin you put before God, goes, fine, go. Let that sin become rot in your life. You want some drug? He goes, fine. You want that? That drug will be where the rot in your life comes from, the very thing you chose. You want some other sin that you don't want to? That'll become the rot in your life from there. So I believe the reason why the Holy Spirit says those who had the mark, I believe it's quite possible that it started right where the mark was. Just so they know that there's that connection. And by the way, for you Bible students, I got a little homework for you. You do? I hate homework. Good. Go look at the parallels between the plagues in Egypt and the plagues we're going to look at here. Now, you have to understand, the plagues in Egypt were centralized. These are global and far more devastating here. But there are some remarkable similarities. So here are the people. What's happened so far? Horrible. Now understand, when God says something's painful, do you think Jesus knows what pain is? So when God says these are painful and oozing, ooh, that just sounds horrible. Oozing sores. Where? All over, probably. Let's look at the second bowl. Aren't these Super Bowls? They're so super. Well, you'll see. You'll see why they really are in a moment. The second bowl, verse 3. Then a second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Okay. Notice it doesn't say that it just became blood. No. Why? Listen, you cut yourself. Blood starts dripping out. The blood is basically clean. It's your blood. It came from inside your body. You cut your finger, you go, right? You got to stop the bleeding, right? I had a friend once. He cut himself. I said, just, you know, he goes, no, I might get AIDS. I'm like, it's like, what? Yeah, he graduated high school. But it comes out of your body. It's like, it's okay. It's blood. Blood is gruesome. It's gore. But, you know, that's not what it says here. It says, it became blood as of a dead man. Notice it doesn't say it was like blood of a... No. It became blood. It's blood. But he adds of a dead man. Why? The blood that comes out of our body is one thing, but it's way different than a dead animal. Right? Especially if it's been there a while. A dead man's blood is partly wet and partly congealed. That's what it's describing here. The sea becomes this... looks red and thick and clumpy, and it moves slower. It's kind of just nasty. And every form of sea life dead. How does it smell? When, first of all, congealed blood sitting in the sun, in the heat, would smell bad. Now add dead fish to it. Now add it's the whole ocean. So what do you think planet Earth is smelling like? Yeah. Listen, you know those, if any of you have a bug out bag, You know, you have one of those little cups with the filtration. I don't think it'll work on this. It won't even come through the straw. There's no getting through this. Now, some commentators will try and tell you that the bowls and the trumpets are the same. Why? Do me a favor. Turn over to Revelation chapter 8, verse 8. The second bowl. Let's look at the second trumpet. Revelation chapter 8, verse 8. Second trumpet. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. So you got this big meteor, I'm going to guess. Hang that on your belt. We need that meteor for later, okay? All right. Thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Problem, what's that, Pastor? And the problem is, in Revelation chapter 8, it says a third of the sea died. Here it says every living creature in the sea. The other two-thirds, they're dead now. It's all gone. It's all dead. But that meteor, anyone here know what makes blood red? Why blood looks red? It's iron. Yes, iron makes blood red. Some try to explain that when this meteor in Revelation chapter 8 hit the water, that meteor was probably mostly iron. And so what happened is it contaminated the ocean and it became red and it looked like blood. No. Stop it. Get out of here with that. God would have said it looked like. He didn't say that. He says it became blood. And there's a reason. You'll see. Watch. Some say this. Perhaps with all the earth shaking and all that, perhaps a chasm at the bottom of the ocean opened up and iron from the platelets was released, and now that's why the ocean... Stop it. When you hear that stuff, just say, there's a pastor who doesn't have faith that God can do all things. Listen, these are supernatural judgment of God, never before happened on earth, so you can't go back into your scientific encyclopedia and go, oh, look, there's an explanation. No, this is, God says this never happened before, never happened again. God is, by the way, with what's happening here, God is driving a point home. I'm going to show you here in a minute. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag just yet. Let's look at the Super Bowl, number 3, verse 4 through 7. Then the third angel poured his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. So just in case, okay, you know, hey, it was seawater. You can't drink that anyway. Well, now we have that same blood moving around in all the springs and all the rivers. It's spreading. It doesn't say like, it doesn't say as, it says it is blood. Verse 5, watch this. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, so by the way, there's angels that God has put over different aspects of life. There's even regional angels, and you can do your own study in that, but it's interesting. And why does God do that? Here's why. He doesn't need them to do that. God likes to see his angels have assignments. He likes work. God loves work. And he loves it when we work. That's why he says, work 6 days, rest one day. God says, I like work. Verse 5, and I heard an angel of the water saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed blood of the saints and the prophets, and you gave them blood to drink. For it is due. It is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. So here's what we have. So we have the seas thick with coagulating blood and dead fish. We have the rivers and springs oozing with blood you can't drink at, and also dead fish. You have people with sores oozing. You can't wash them. You can't drink. It's so horrible. And listen, we're only in the third bowl. It's so horrible that even the angels stopped to go, this is horrible. But God, you're righteous in your judgments. This has been a long time coming. We are even wondering why you didn't do this sooner. And of course, we know that because the angels desire to look into the things of God. The angels don't understand God's righteous forgiveness towards us. Look at how sinful we are. And they're probably looking up there and thinking, you forgive that guy, Randy? Really? Did you see what he did, God? And God goes, yeah, I love him. Did you see what my son did? Look, and the angel says, God, your righteous judgments. These people that are left on the earth at this time, they have seen God's patience. They've seen the sinful actions of men, including themselves and other men. Even though they see all these things from the rapture of the church, we're gone. The Antichrist, the mark, the wars, all that stuff, just like it says in the Bible. And there are people, witnesses, 144,000 men, angels, pointing them to the Bible where they can see, oh, God, just like the Bible says. You're going to see, I'm not making that up here in a moment. They've seen many people having their heads cut off because they refused to deny that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even those who refuse to take the mark that they now have on their hand, where that they're now bearing the sores because of. They saw those who refused to take the mark be brutalized for the name of Christ. I like what Adam Clark says. Clark says this. They thirst after blood and massacred the saints of God, and now they got blood to drink. Now, remember Pilate? Remember Pilate? Do me a favor. Turn over to Matthew 27, verse 24. If you want, or I'm going to just read it to you. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, remember, he wanted to release Jesus, but he gave them a choice, the people a choice. You know, here's an insurrectionist, a murderer, Barabbas. You can either have Jesus or Barabbas. When Pilate saw he was getting nowhere, but instead the uproar was starting, he took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, and said, I am innocent of this man's blood. And he said, it is your responsibility. Wrong. Wrong. To not make a choice for Jesus is to be guilty of the crucifixion. To not choose Jesus, to not accept what he did on the cross, is to say he deserves to be on the cross. And here's the thing, to not accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross is to say, God, give me your best shot. Judge me for my sins. I'll be responsible for my own sins. Wow. So he's turned all the water into blood. The oceans and the rivers. Stinky. The whole place smells. The fish are dead. Fish. What is that? What is that? Fish. What's the fish a symbol of? Christianity. The fish is a symbol of what? Giving out the gospel, right? I'll make you fishers of men. That's why you put the ichthus on the back of your car. Well, all the fish are dead. Guess what? Time's up. Time's up. So the fish are all dead. And there's blood to drink. Even today, today, we will symbolically drink, symbolically, a symbol of Christ's blood. To drink of Christ's blood, symbolically, is to drink of life. So these people here said, we don't want Christ. We don't want life. God goes, fine. I'll give you dead blood to drink. You don't want life? Drink death. And the angels, they decree, God, you are righteous. Why? Once again, he's giving them what they want. At one point in Christ's ministry, he told the crowd, he said, "You can't have any part of me unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh." And the crowd says, "Oh man, that's intense, bro. I'm out of here. Whoa, that's gross." And of course, he said to his disciples, "Hey, what about you?" And they're like, "Where are we going to go? We want to partake of you, Christ. That's what we are. We're going to partake of Christ symbolically." But there are too many people in the church, in the church and outside the church. People say, "I don't want church. I don't want communion. I don't want the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not my thing." Many will turn their back on life and one day may have to drink death. How sad is that? You know what's even more sad? That some of those people may be us, maybe our family members. Does that not break your heart? Your neighbor? Although the communion we're going to have here in a little bit is a metaphor, the sea is sloshing around with real blood and real dead fish and real death. God has made it a reality for them because they don't believe in the spiritual. And yet you're going to see they absolutely do believe in the spiritual. They just don't want to surrender to Christ. See, it's not enough, folks. Hear me in this. It's not enough to know of Jesus. It's about surrendering to all that he is. And believing. These are Super Bowls. Why? He's giving them exactly what they ordered. That's what they want. They don't want him. Let's look at verse 8 through 9. Look at the fourth bowl. "Then a fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. And the power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with a great heat." Felt just like Bullhead. No. Just checking to see if you're awake. Almost like Bullhead. Not quite. That's too much. No. No. "And power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. And they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over the plagues. And they did not repent to give him glory." Now, God knew they wouldn't repent. How do I know that? Well, he shut the door. God shut the door. Listen, maybe you're here today and you've never repented to Christ. You've never, he's standing at the door knocking today. He's saying, "Come." That's not a coincidence that you're here. But you can choose to walk away and not open the door. And there may come a day when God says, no, "You're not going to repent. I know you're not. So I'm done knocking on your door." Oh, that's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. But remember, okay, one more thing. Remember the fourth trumpet? The fourth trumpet, it says the sunlight was reduced. All the warmth, the beauty, the radiance of the sun was blocked. Here, it's blasting the sun. So it can't be the same. So once again, if someone says they happen simultaneously, they say God is not schizophrenic. The fourth trumpet, the sun is blocked. Here, the sun is beaming, burning. Now, remember this. All these things happen in quick succession. This is a 3.5-year period. So it's crazy. It's crazy. Some crazy stuff going on globally. In the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament speaks about this day. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. I'll read it for you. "For behold, the day," that's a definite article, "is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud," yes, all who do wickedly, "will be stubble. and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. They will leave them neither root nor branch. But, I love this, watch this, but, to you who fear my name, the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness will arise with the healing in his wings. For us who believe, when the sun rises, it brings healing. For them, it brings a scorching. These people who are burning, they're all people who probably one day sang, the sun will come out tomorrow. They all said that. Listen, I'm building for my future. I don't have time for God. I don't have time for church. I'm building for my future, my kids' future. And now they're going, there is no future. We're scorched. The sun has come out tomorrow and it stinks. It's hot. They forget the S-O-N because they were too busy working under the S-U-N for their future. Really? It's God who holds our future. Believe in the Son. Believe in God. And I love this. To you who fear my name, the S-U-N of righteousness shall arise with, look, with healing in his wings. So you and I get to choose today. Healing in God's wings or scorching of the rays. You choose. I choose. You can build for, and by the way, AOC and the rest of the people with their global warming, they're not wrong, but it ain't the way they think it is. Notice nowhere in the scripture does it say, and the sun will scorch unless everyone drives a Tesla. It doesn't say that. I wish it did. Now think about this. So the water's moving slow and thick, clumps in areas, dead fish everywhere. The rivers, if they're flowing, I doubt that they are. Dead fish. People have sores all over their body. It's hot. Sweat. I'm just trying to bring this home. Sweat in the pore, in the cuts. Sun, you know what it feels like when it feels like the sun is like touching your skin. We know now, amplify that even hotter, and you have sores all over your body. And the people are thinking, oh, I'll just go home and get rest. You can't rest, it's hot, air conditioning's gone, electricity gone, no water to wash. This is horrible. Horrible. And notice this. Look. I cannot pass over this. And they blaspheme the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent or give him glory. Did you catch that? What did it say they do? They blaspheme the name of God. They know his name. They know who he is. They know who has the power over. They know that it's his judgment upon them. And instead of going, oh God, I'm sorry, they're like, oh, you, bing, 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 ding, ding. There's a true story. It's a book. I have it in my office. I can't remember. I got it like 10 years ago, 9 years ago. It's about a pilot. It's a true story. He's flying his commercial airline. His engine blow. One of the engines blow out, and it obviously caused some damage to the cabin. There's two pilots, so he's like, "I need to go back." The other pilot's struggling to keep the plane in the air, so he decides he's going to go assess the damage. When he opens the door to the cabin, out of the cockpit into the cabin, right there in front there was a big hole, and there were people on fire. And right in front, he said, this was a Christian guy. The very first guy strapped into his seat on the airplane was screaming on fire profanities at God. You see, that's what it's going to be like. These people are burning, they're hurting, and they're screaming at God instead of turning to God for healing. They're mad at God. Listen, at this time, they know his name, they know his power, they know his judgment, and they are no longer atheists. They're calling him by name, not in a good way. These are the same people who said, oh, you know, Pastor Randy, if God gave me a sign, they saw the sign of the rapture, they saw all these signs, and now it's, and they're still not turning. Listen, if you're one of those people who say, I need a sign, you're a liar. I'm sorry, you don't like me, I don't care. I want you saved. God loves you. You love your sin. That's your problem. That's their problem. They don't want to let go of their sin. You're like the monkey that has his hand through the hole and holding on to the banana. You don't want to let go of the banana, so you don't care if you're trapped. Not good. I got to tell you this story. It's not in my notes. I hope I remember this for the next group. But you know how Eskimos hunt wolves? They take a knife and they dip it in blood and they freeze it. And they dip it in blood and they freeze it. And they dip it in blood and they freeze it. Then they take it and stick it in the snow. And then the wolf goes and licks the knife. He gets through because he can taste that frozen blood. And finally, before he knows it, he's cut his own tongue and he's lapping it up. And then he bleeds to death on his own. That's what sin does. The devil puts the knife. He goes, come and get your sin. And we go and we don't even realize that we're dying. They've had many, many signs. And they don't believe, they hate. They know who the devil is. They know God's power. They know his name, and still they reject. That's how strong a hold the devil has on them. That's how strong their sin is. They blaspheme the name of God. This is a level of rejection that's undeniably right for God to judge this way. You know what's tragic? It's all tragic. But every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. These same people will bow and confess Christ, but they'll confess Christ with anger, with disdain, with hatred, with malice. Brother and sister, can I tell you? Why don't you bow your heart today to Christ before it's too late? They don't believe in God. Tragedy strikes. They were warned. Their sin caused it, and yet they're mad at God. Oh, gosh. Okay, guess what? We're going to have to go to communion here because I'm looking at the time, and everyone's getting antsy in the back. Here's the thing, folks. That's only four bowls. We got three more bowls. We're only in chapter 16. Here's the point. The Lord Jesus loves you. The Lord Jesus died for you. The Lord Jesus won. He took the cross. He took all of that brutality. Because that is what our sin looks like. This is what our sin looks like, what we're reading here today. And Jesus said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh. Now, he was speaking symbolically. I want you to know, these communion trays that the ushers are going to pass out, they're only for the believer. If you are not a believer, you're not supposed to take communion. But here's the cool part. Today, you can take that cup, you can separate it, you can hold them, and you can say, I don't want to be judged for my sin. Lord Jesus, will you take my sin upon the cross? And then you can partake of the cup with us for the first time, the right way. But listen, if you cannot repent of your sin, you should not take the cup. The cup is, it's to remind us what Jesus did on the cross to pay for our sins. So when we take it, we're not to take it in an impure manner. We're to take it with a truly broken and contrite heart. But then if we do that, what a beautiful picture of what Christ has done for us. And so look, if you're visiting today, I'm sorry for such an intense message. But no, I'm not. It's God's word, and we need to hear it. But I pray that it's encouraged you to assess Are you walking right with God? Are you looking to please Him? Are you too busy saying, the sun will come out tomorrow? I'll choose Him tomorrow. But today I'm building for my future. There is no future without Christ. And so thanks be to God that He went to the cross. And so now prepare our hearts. Examine your hearts. Confess your sins. Father God, I pray for these elements. I pray for these ushers. I pray for our worship team. I pray for this church. As we prepare our hearts to receive what You said we were to do often in remembrance of You. What You said was a symbol of us accepting forgiveness and wanting, Lord, to confess our sins before You and to recognize Your brokenness for us. Lord, I pray each one of us would examine our heart. I pray You bless these ushers, this worship team, this church, and bless the elements and speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. When they bring the cups, separate them, hold on to them, we'll partake together.